Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Mr. Paul Hamilton joining us on the Wester Hotline as we count down to the NHL draft a week from today. And the NHL offseason is upon us. We've already seen a couple of trades. We've also seen Sam Bennett announce himself he's not going anywhere. Did he report on the terms of that deal? Has anyone seen that yet? Paul, you see Sam Bennett announcing, I'm not going anywhere. And there's a report he's got an eight-year deal with Florida, so he's going to stay put. But
you've got him yelling into the microphone like, and yeah. I got a 10-team no-trade clause.
Average annual value, 9.3. he's at a party with Sam Reinhart, and he says he's not going anywhere. So take Sam Bennett off the list of UFAs that the Sabres could have chased after, Paul. Not that maybe you were putting it on the list, but either way, take him off the list.
Well, I had him on the list if he was going to be there, but it was even before the series was over, a lot of it was that, you know, Florida has a pretty good chance that they're going to re-sign Bennett, and the one that maybe they won't be able to is Ekblad. You know, that's really what was out there even before the series ended.
Where does he rank for you as an idea for the Sabres? Like, even it's just that they'll chase Paul. Like, would you expect maybe they don't land an Ekblad or a big name on his level in free agency? But are you thinking that Adams and the front office are at least going to be pursuing these big ideas? I mean, they have not. We went over this yesterday. The most they've given out in a free agent contract under Adams is only $10 million in total money. It's not a very high bar, but I would almost think that they would clear that with somebody this offseason.
Yeah, Ekblad would, even if Bennett were available, Ekblad would be my number one priority because I'm looking for somebody to be with Owen Power. I think he would be perfect to be with Owen Power. So, plus the Sabres need to be better defensively. There's just no ifs, ands, and buts about it. They're not going to make the playoffs if they're 29th in the NHL defensively like they were last year. So he definitely would be my number one priority. Now you have to convince him to come here, and that's a pretty big thing to do. But that would be my first priority.
He's from Windsor. It's where he's – so, you know, I don't know if that means Detroit's in the mix or, you know, could Buffalo – whatever. Removing that for a minute, Paul, you know, it's funny. As Joe asked you that question, I think back to all the off seasons, all the unrestricted free agencies, and, you know, Paul, I've got you in my ear saying it's silly season, and often it is.
Yeah,
but that said, do you think, like, the Sabres are in a spot where they have to get a little bit silly here? Because, as Joe just mentioned, they've only given out six contracts that are multi-year contracts in free agency. Five of them two-year deals. Connor Clifton, a three-year deal. Part of what is actually hurting them is budget deals in free agency not really ever producing much. And I wonder if there's a realization, if it's Jarmo Kekalainen, if it's Kevin Adams together, that, you know what, we're going to have to spend, and we have to tell the owner, might have to overspend if we're going to get somebody that even can make a difference, can make a blip on this roster.
Yeah, they're definitely going to. I mean, part of convincing a player like that to come here is overpaying him, probably drastically overpaying him.
Isn't that what happened with Zucker? The belief at the time was like, well, it's a little bit high for Jason Zucker, and it worked. He played well, and then he re-signed.
Yeah, definitely. And, you can go back to Kyle Laposo. That was a bit of a high contract, but at the time he was the number one free agent. Hmm. You know, and, so that it was like, well, yeah, that's a little high for Kyle Laposo, but, you know, we want the number one free agent, and they went out and got it. They went out and paid $8 million for Taylor Hall on 1 year, you know, but it was only a one-year deal. So even if you made a mistake, it wasn't going to kill you. And they did make a mistake, and they traded him. So you know, it's – but definitely, I mean, if you're going to get in on it this year at over the top guys, you're going to have to pay.
Paul Hamilton with us on the Western Hotline. Is that kind of the mentality you think of them the whole offseason, Paul, not just in free agency but trades and whatnot? Like, we're hearing a lot of – Adams and the Sabres want to do something big. They want to do something aggressive. How realistic is it, do you think, they would actually do that, though, if it is a trade or it's a free agent signing, not just want to do it?
Overpay, you mean?
Yeah, like just that they would get it done, sure. Like, you mentioned Ekblad, that a player like that, that you think they would – how much do you think they would be willing to go high enough to actually get a deal like that done? They could want to do it and get a meeting, but, you know, like – if it's going to take some crazy contract, I wonder what their willingness will be to do something that the league's going to go, oh, wow, the Sabres paid what for that guy?
Yeah, no, they have to be willing to do something like that. If they're going to get in on it and going to convince somebody to come to a team that hasn't been in the playoffs in 14 years, they have to be ready to do that. They can't be, you know, how – we'll pay you $500,000 more than the next guy will, mm-hmm. type of a thing. You know, you have to be willing to knock their socks off to be able to do it. And quite honestly, I think if they're going to be able to, you know, keep Alex Tuch, I think they're going to have to probably overpay a little bit for him. I think Alex Tuch's in the driver's seat as far as that negotiation goes, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and it might get a little silly to try to keep him. As far as years, because don't forget, when he actually signs the deal, he'll be 30. You know, so you know that one too. But in my mind, they can't afford to lose Alex Tuch with all the different things he does for them. I mean, that other players don't do. And to me, it's essential they re-sign him, and that contract could get silly too.
Yeah, Paul, do you think the timeline for Tuch? If you're the Sabres, are you doing everything you can to get that done right now, and that's overpaying? Or do you think there might be a little bit of an element of, we want this to happen, and if you need convincing, okay, that's our job. Like, we'll do that this year. I think Tuch trade speculation is super unlikely to happen because they don't have to make a decision. They could play out this year. They could try to convince him. They need him to try and make the playoffs. And if they do, well, maybe that does half of the work for them if they kind of turn things around. Or do you think it really is like whatever it takes right now, we got to do it because it's so important?
It's so important, I think. But if that's his decision, that he wants to give it one more year just to give it, all right, let's see what happens. If he has closed his mind and has just said, no, I'm not staying, I'm not resigning, well, then you got to look at the trade market.
Yeah.
If that's his mindset, that, you know, I'm not going to re-sign here. I don't believe in what's going on. You know, if that's his answer when you know, he's talking to Adams and you know, the Sabres, then I guess you got to trade it. Unless you look at it, you've got to make the playoffs, and if you get nothing for him, you get nothing for him. And he's so important to the team that we're going to keep him this one year and to make the playoffs, and if you lose him, you lose him.
That's a smaller version of what Edmonton might be doing with McDavid, right? Trade him. No. I mean, we're going to go ahead and try and win the cup this year, and if we don't, and if he wants to leave, all right, well, that's up to him. But, you know, we're not about to get rid of this player just in the interest of the future because they're too important in the short term. McDavid's comments kind of sounded a lot like you've mentioned, Tuch said he hadn't talked about it with his family. McDavid didn't say exactly that. He said, I've got to talk about it with my family, which is, you know, the same. It comes from the same, from the same family of ideas.
Yeah, he said he definitely has unfinished business in Edmonton. But he said at the end of the day, too, he has to, you know, sit down, talk to his family, do what's best for his family. So, you know, that's the way he put it. But, you know, he did first say that he does have unfinished business in Edmonton, but he didn't say he's staying for definitely.
Yeah. Throwing the butt in after is what's going to get Edmonton fans riled up a little bit. He also did say, and I don't know if Tuch said anything like this, but McDavid said something along the lines of, if I feel this is the place that gives me the best chance to win. And when Tuch just didn't really, I don't know, Paul, like, thinking back to his end of season comments, it was more just the comment about, haven't really thought about it yet, haven't discussed it, right? Like, because anything he said about the team and the team here, there weren't a lot of, well, if I feel this is the place, like, I don't feel like Tuck really stepped in it other than the the comment about, like, just that he hasn't thought about it.
No, there were no clues at all other than he just said he hasn't talked to his family or thought about it. And it's like, okay.
So wouldn't it surprise you a little bit, like you mentioned, if he told them right now, like, I'm definitely not staying, like that's when you look at a trade. Would it not be a little surprising hearing how he's talked if he was to think that he'd be so definitive about it with them right now? Like, yeah, like, Kevin, there's no way I'm staying next year. Like, wouldn't that come across as a surprise?
No, it wouldn't shock me at all because of this team doesn't just lose. It is just drastic losing. I mean, it's they're, you know, for most of this season they were at the bottom of the conference, you know, and then they started playing better near the end of the season, and you know, they got out of that spot.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
But it's just horrible losing that they have they go through, and, you know, gain, especially last year's. Do you remember for most of the year how they were blowing leads? I mean, they're blowing 3-goal leads. I mean, the leads they blew 2 different times to Colorado, and to lose games, and that gets to you after a while, where you're sitting there with a 2-3-goal lead halfway through the third period, and you don't win the hockey game. And time after time after time, and it's dumb mistakes and dumb penalties and panic. And, you know, that just gets to you after a while, where it's time after time, and it's like you're looking around the room thinking, when are these guys going to get it? Now, have they gotten it? You know, it's difficult to drag one season into the other. I mean, I'm sure they're hoping they can do that and, you know, pick up where they left off, but that's not an easy thing to do because it's not the same group. You're going to have a different group around. So, you know, he really gave no indication what he's actually thinking that way. Or I know it's gotten to him. I mean, it's gotten to all of them. I mean, Thompson was on a podcast the last week where, you know, he talked about how, you know, the last 2 years have just been horrible and just have really gotten to him. Now, he didn't say anything about he wanted to leave or anything like that. He actually said he moved because he hated being downtown with the wind and the cold and everything. So he said it's actually better living in Clarence as far as weather-wise and that type of thing. But, you know, he actually talked about the winters being so bad. It's horrible and it's always gray and, you know, but he did move, so it's a little bit better for him. So. But he didn't say anything about leaving, but he did say the last 2 years have just been horrible.
Paul Hamilton, sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's nice. It's going to be nice this weekend, you know. Come on back, Tage. Get on the
Well, he did say the summers are much better.
That's right.
He
goes, that's right.
He did say that, you know, he spent a little bit of time here this summer, and the summers are good, but the winters are horrible.
Yeah, he's a big golfer. You know, he got some good stuff around here.
Well, that's why he moved to Arizona. Yeah. I mean, he wants to – you know, he doesn't mind the heat as far as in the winter or in the summertime and stuff. So,
Paul, on Paterka, it's a fun new game we really have going on. I don't know if we're all playing or who's playing it, but every day, if I could kind of just like zoom in and guess what's happening, every day Paterka's camp or agent or whatever, feeding stories that everybody's interested, right? Are you catching the same thing? Like, oh, look at that, 5 more teams are in on this whole thing. So, whether it happens or however this all plays out, his name is one of the most often mentioned in the entire NHL. So, to me, I read it as the push from Paterka's side is intense to try and get somebody to come in and make this deal, whether it's offer sheet, whether it's call Kevin Adams, make a trade. Would you put Paterka as likely to be moved because he seems to want it pretty badly?
And he has the agent who absolutely would do that. Walsh, Alan Walsh absolutely would put things out there, you know, for his client.
He once posted a picture on Twitter of Marc-Andre Fleury getting a sword through the back,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
Was that Alan Walsh?
That's right.
That's email, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, when you talk about an agent trying to move the needle some one way or the other, he's got the one that's going to do that.
All right. Well, then there's Byram, which has been a little quiet. And, if you want to rank them in terms of how likely, it probably goes Byram most likely, then Paterka. And, of course, I want to put Tuck at the bottom. Like, I just don't think he's going to be moved. Is there any other name we should be thinking about that we're not mentioning enough?
I think anybody could be moved because they want to make a big trade. So, I don't think they're moving Dahlin. I mean, I think we could comfortably say that, you know, he's not in trade talks. But, you know, even a guy like Owen Power, I would pick up the phone and listen to what somebody has to say. I don't think they're looking to trade him or real, you know, enthusiastic to try to trade a 22-year-old defenseman they drafted first overall. But I think they at least would listen if somebody were to call. So I think if you're basically saying, is there an untouchable? Yeah, Rasmus Dahlin, and I think what the conversation might end there. I think they're hoping that Alex Tuck would be an untouchable, but again, it depends what Alex Tuck says to them, and behind closed doors, as far as what you know, how he feels about this team and the organization moving forward.
Have you spent any time thinking about, you know, you mentioned Power there as like someone you wouldn't think would get traded, but maybe anything's on the table. Have you spent any time thinking about what kind of trade chip Benson would be? Just in that, like, I think he would have real value in the league. I mean, just the fact that he's in the league already is still impressive, and he's got really good defensive numbers, and you see the battle, but you also don't have the production really yet, Paul, so I don't really know what type of team would be interested in him, but you know what I mean? Like, the Sabre, they're trying to win right now, and they might be looking for more of a veteran addition this summer, and he's 20, so I don't know, like that seems like a player that another team would ask about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they would close their mind to it. I mean, yeah, you're right, he's got 30 points and 28 points as an 18 and 19 year old. He just turned 20 in May, so I don't think production, I don't think they're thinking, well, he's hit his ceiling. I mean, 11 goals is the most he's ever going to score, type of thing. He had 11 his first year. He got 10 his second year, and he's played 71 and 75 games. So, I think there still could be an upside production because if you think about it, he gets an awful lot of scoring opportunities, and he doesn't capitalize on them.
No, the shot is just not there yet at all.
Right. And those are things that can improve, his strength, his shot. All those types of things are things he can improve on. But do I think he's an untouchable? No, I don't. And no, I haven't thought about what he could get you. Again, if somebody picks up the phone and makes an offer that they think makes a lot of sense, I don't think they sit there and say, no, that's a player we just can't get, we can't part with.
You guys talked to Mike Moriel yesterday on the Extra Point Show. Do you have a thought on like what type of draft we're headed for? The Sabres pick 9th. And past the first couple of picks, whether this is seen as a deep draft or maybe what could be in store for the Sabres in the top 10?
Well, he talked about a couple of really big, tough defensemen. Mertka was one guy I like. He's 6'6", played out at Seattle. He's a right-handed defenseman, so he plays right D. Just a monster out there. But he actually talked more about Keshawn Aitchison. But he is a left-handed shooting defenseman. But he was saying that he might be one of the toughest defensemen that is in junior hockey, you know, this past year. Just tough as nails, can do a lot of different things. He almost thought that might be a place where if the Sabres make the pick at 9, they might go. He also thought that Mertka might be gone by then because he felt he might be the second best defenseman in the draft. So, you know, he said, you know, there's a good possibility once you get to 9, he wouldn't be there anymore. So, but those are the two guys that we really talked about that, you know, would be maybe quote perfect for the Buffalo Sabres should they be available at 9.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. All right, Paul, the decentralized draft awaits. You can go into what? Going to the stadium for this?
Yep, we'll be at the stadium. It'll be just like the NFL. The players will be in a centralized location in Los Angeles, and it'll be like the NFL where, you know, the teams will be elsewhere. There are some people who think this is only going to be a one-year deal.
Yeah.
You know, because Bettman hates it. Bettman doesn't like it, and he just relented and let teams do it this year because owners wanted to do it because it's less expensive for owners not to have to move their operations out of town. And but there are many who feel that maybe this is just a one-year thing and they'll be back in a centralized location next year.
Also, I've seen that some think that this will lead to trades the week of more than the night of because the teams are not all together.
Yeah, so, Mike was talking about that yesterday when we were chatting.
That, of course, would include the time-honored tradition of everyone trying to convince themselves that more NHL trades are coming. I promise. There's got to be some trades, right? Trades are coming this week. We'll see if they actually do that.
Well, remember last year, how many teams had their first-round pick available? Sabres, Ottawa. You know, all these teams are willing to trade their first-round pick. How many did? None. No. I mean, the Sabres moved down, but as far as trading their first-round pick, it didn't happen. And that surprised me a lot. I thought for sure we would be seeing trades, but it was extremely quiet. And I think GMs know they're being watched when they're down on the floor. I think they play games. Mm-hmm. I think they get up and just try to get, you know, they know the media is talking and they want to get people, you know, they just walk over and maybe ask what somebody had for breakfast and, you know, what are you doing this summer? Are you going to the, cottage or that? Just to play games.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul.
Take care.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline chatting with us about the upcoming NHL draft a week from today. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Friday. TGIF.
Cloudy one out
Sam Bennett's going to stay with the Panthers. Ekblad, huh?
Yeah, I've noticed Reinhart is very he's living in the moment right now.
Yeah.
Like, he's not really afraid of what anyone thinks of him, or like the Sabre jersey thing where he kind of like threw it back yesterday at Elbow Room on social media. He's, I guess a lot of the Panthers are doing this, but he's like tweeting at the Bruins, thank you Bruins, with a picture of Brad Marchand. He said someone was trying to ask Barkov about what he thinks of Connor McDavid, and Reinhart told the person to like shut the, you know, like expletive. Like, Reinhart is like the guy right now I'm seeing the most, I feel like. That's just like, doesn't care what anybody thinks of him right now because he's got the Stanley Cup and he's just going to do whatever he wants.
The Ovechkin tour?
Even though he did kind it last of, year. But it's a different vibe to it, I guess.
It wasn't Ovechkin drunk and swimming in a fountain?
Oh, yeah. In the middle of D.C.?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, he was. All right.
803-0550 is our phone number. Jeremy and Joe. Some fantasy football chatter at 9 o'clock. Davis Maddox is going to join us there. And, you know, we're hanging out. You can give us a ring, 803-0550, and you know, tweet at us or find us in the chat on YouTube, wherever you want. Enjoy your Friday. Happy Friday. It's beautiful. Summer has arrived here on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.